We're going to learn Daf Mem Vav.
Ready, thank you.
Okay, we're going to learn Daf Mem Vav in Masechtas Nedarim. Daf Mem Vav is the middle of the Mishnah, which starts from Mem Hei Amud Beis, which is only three lines. So I guess it's more practical. We'll just read the first three lines of the Mishnah. It's a continuation anyway, and then we'll go through the rest of the Mishnah and continue the Daf. So the first three lines on the Daf are really Mem Hei Amud Beis. It says, Shutz Min Shenadur HaNoz LeMizeh. We're talking, obviously, in Nedarim about people who make Isure Hana on one another. So that's the case over here. You have two partners that made Hana that neither one of them is going to allow his partner to be. Well, that's the Pashtus. That's what we're going to talk about in the Gemara. What exactly is the cases? But you have two partners that the end result is that they're Osir Bahana one on another. Asur Nikonas Lechotzer. So if they have their partnership is within a piece of real estate on a property, so they're not allowed to go, then neither one of them is allowed to go traverse onto the property because they made the Isur Hana. They made the nether. No, each one is able to say, I am going into my property. That's the part of the Mishnah on Mem Hei Amud Beis. So just two things of quick note, again, to remind you that we're talking about a chotzer, at least the way the Ran is learning, we're talking about a very small chotzer. We'll talk about this in the Mishnah or the Gemara today on Amud Beis, whether we're talking about a smaller chotzer that doesn't have a din chaluk or a larger chotzer that could be split between them and they go on their merry old way. That's one point that the Ran says. And the other point that we're talking about is that the machlekes, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Chachamim, is whether we say yesh bayir or ein bayir. Yesh breira or ein breira. That do we say that could we say that we already knew that this is the way it was supposed to be predetermined when they make their selection that that's the way it always was? Okay, just keep that in the back of your mind as we go through the Gemara, today. The Mishnah continues now on the top of Mem Vav Amud Aleph. It says, "V'shneim asurin lahamid reichayim v'tanur v'tanur ulegadol tanur goylin." So the Mishnah then continues and says, even if they make hanah to one another, even if you say they could walk into each other's property, but they certainly cannot use in a permanent way the property, even though normal partners would allow that, and they would allow the use of the property for one of them. However, since they made the nether over here, that's the kind of thing that they're not going to permit, and that everybody would agree to. They cannot put something permanent like an oven in the middle of the chaser. The Mishnah continues. If only one of them, one of the individuals, is the one that made the neder, is also because of the neder. So then, once again, the Mishnah says it turns out to be similar. That individual that's also is not allowed to go into the chotzer. That's the Tanakama Shita. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Aimer, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is somewhat consistent with what he said in the beginning of the Mishnah, which is even the one who is ushered to go into the chatzar is able to say, yeah, but I'm only going into my portion of the chatzar. Now, as the Ran, and actually all the Rishonim, or most of the Rishonim that I've seen, say that this part of the Mishnah is not really, really, really such a chiddush, because it's really just saying the same halacha as we said in the beginning of the Mishnah. It doesn't make a difference whether both of them made the neder or only one of them made the neder. However, I stopped in the middle of the sentence. I'm going into my property, I'm not going into your property. The chiddush of this Mishnah is this next line that we're about to read. The koifin es hanoider limkar es chelkoi. And we force the one who made the neder to sell, well, the neder. Now this could be read as either the one who made the neder or the one that the neder is about. And we'll see as we read this line of the Gemara. Limkar es chelkoi, he's going to have to sell. So now all of a sudden, this is a whole different halacha. Since only one of them is usher, and the other one is mutter, we're going to say that the one who is usher is going to, well, we're going to have to say that one of them is going to have to sell his property, so that you don't have the situation when that one's usher and one's mutter. So that line is the difference between the first case of the Mishnah where both of them are usher versus this case where only one of them is usher. Ho'yechod menashik mutter ve'echod Behen. Now the girsa we changed, the Rashi changed the girsa, and the Goy Sabach changed the girsa to Me Echod Mehen, not Be Echod Mehen. So rather, one of the people from the Shuk is usher in one of the partners, is an outsider, Me'am Hanol, right? So that was the Neder. The Neder is a neder, regular general Neder, I know. Lo Yukonis L'Chotzer. Again, the Tanakama Shita is consistent with what he said before. That individual may not come into the Chotzer because, even though he's only usher in one of them, he is, Lamaiso, he is using the chotzer which belongs to both of them. Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov Omer Yochel Omer L'Toch Shel Chavercho Ani Nichnas Veni Nichnas L'Toch Shelcho. Once again, Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov, consistent with the Shita, says you can split the chotzer in ownership and say that I'm only going into the part of the property that's mutter for me. I'm not going into the part of the property that is usur for me. Now, this is, it just right away on this point, is the Ran brings the Machlekes Rishonim about when this third party, this outsider, is going into the chotzer. Is he going into the chotzer on his own, or is he going into the chotzer for the sake of that shutuf? The Rashba learns, again, brought in the Ran, that we're talking about that I am a representative of the shutuf, and that's why I'm going in. Because just like the shutuf himself would be allowed, as we learned earlier in the Mishnah, would be allowed to go into the chotzer because it's his, so too this individual who's going on behalf of Lutzairich, as the Rashba says, is going on behalf of the shutuf, then it's going to be mutter. So either he needs the shutuf, or is for, okay, that's the way the Rashba learns. The Ra'ah, on the other hand, the Ra'ah argues, and he says, you don't need that he's necessarily going in for the sake of the shutuf, he could be going in for himself also, and that would be mutter as well. Okay? So this is the Machlekes Rishonim, what the case is that is, what this random guy is going into the property. So, for example,
but what?
Mishnah now continues. Hamuder Hanome Chaveroi, Vieshloi Merchatz Ubeis Habad, Muskorim Be'ir. So the case again, similar to what we said before, that there is somebody who made an eder against some random person that is going to be usur. And the case is like this. He, the one who made the neder, the one who made the prohibition, is an owner of property, and on the property there is a bathhouse, or one of the examples of Beis HaMerchatz or Beis HaBad, or something that the public uses. I again, just to make it practical for nowadays, let's imagine you own the property and there's an ice skating rink on the property. Okay? So the question is, can this other guy that I made a meder on, is he allowed, and it's rented to somebody else. So I'm the landlord. It's rented to some third party who is renting from me. And now this guy wants to know, can I go Sunday? Can I go ice skating on this? Can I go ice skating in that property? It's not the owner. The owner doesn't run the Beis HaMerchatz or the Beis HaBad. It's somebody else. So the question is, can he go into it? So it depends. So the Mishnah says it depends. In Yeshba Loi Bahen Tfisas Yad, if the landowner has a direct connection to the business, then it's going to be Asur. And we'll see, the Gemara is going to describe what the case is. Then it's Asur. Ein Lahem Bahen Tfisas Yad Mutter. But if the landlord doesn't have any really real direct connection, then it's going to be Mutter. Because then it's somebody else's property, it's rented out to somebody else's, and it's going to be mutter. Okay? Continuing in the Mishnah. Mishnah's next case is, I'm the chaveri koinim lebe secho sha'ani nechnas, v'sodcho sha'ani loikeach. If the guy says, I'm making a neder on your house, I'm not going into your house, or your field, I'm not going into it. I'm not going to buy it. So Mace, if the original owner dies, or he sells it to somebody else, mutter, it's going to be mutter. Why? Because the way I phrased the neder, I phrased it so that it's only usur because it belongs to you. So if it no longer belongs to the person, if he dies or he sells it to somebody else, so it's no longer directly in his possession, so then it's going to be mutter. Because that was the way the neder was phrased. It's specifically directed at him, at the owner. Koinim bayis zeh shani nechnas, or sada zeh zu shani lokeh. But if I say it's this field, so now it's directed at the house or the field, so then meis shemach la'acher osur. Even if it gets sold to somebody else, it's going to be osur. Why? Because I made my prohibition on the field. My connection was on the field. Right, so the distinction is if it's on the house, if it's on directed at the guy, so it depends on whether the guy is the owner, continues to be the owner. Then so if he's not the owner anymore, he dies. So then it's going to be mutter. Where if it's directed at the house, so then it's going to be usur, even if the owner is no longer, the original owner is no longer in possession of the house of the field, it'll continue to be usur. The difference between the guy directly and the house is the Ran actually points out some very interesting nafkaminas. Let's say the house burns down, the house collapses, and you have to rebuild it. So if you say Bayezeh, this house, it's not this house anymore. If you say your house, then you rebuild that house, it's still going to be awesome. Okay, so there are nafkaminas. There are nafkaminas not only directly at the guy whether he sells it, but
two houses though, right?
Right. So if he has two houses, is an interesting question. But the Ran does point out. I don't know. I'm not going to answer that because the Ran doesn't say. But the Ran does say if his house falls down, and then he rebuilds it even someplace else, or in a different measurement, it's going to be usur because I said your house. So if you decided to move because your house fell down, then it carries with you to your new location, which is a very big chiddush, but that is what the Ran says. That is what the Ran says. That's the end of the Mishnah. Now let's jump into the Gemara itself. So this whole case that we've been discussing, and we started from the beginning of the Mishnah on purpose, because now the Gemara is going to be discussing the beginning of the Mishnah case, where it says both partners made an Isser Hana on each other. So the question of it is like this. Nidroi pligi? Benadroi pligoi is when he then, when the other person made a neder upon him. So therefore, hedira zeh mai. But what if they made a neder on each other? They themselves made the neder. In other words, in every case when a person, when there's a neder and you're usur, it could become usur. When someone else's property becomes usur to you, it could become usur in one of two ways. Either the owner says, I don't want you using my property. The owner says that. Or you have a right to say that I don't want to have use of your property. So who's making the neder over here? It's the same result. The result is I cannot use your property. But why can't I use your property? Is it because you made a neder prohibiting your stuff from me? Or is it I made the neder and I'm saying I have a right to decide that I'm not going to use your property. So what is the case of our Mishnah when you have these shutfim over here saying, I'm not going to allow you to use the property, who made the neder? Did the owner make the neder, or did the other shutif say that he doesn't want to use the property? Hadiru zeh mai. So that's what the Gemara asks. What's the case when they made the neder on their own about the other guy's property? Is that also included in the same machloikas? Mi amrina benidroi hu depligi. Do we say that they only argue when someone else made the neder? Avo behadiru zeh moidu le rabbanu le rabbeloz ben Yaakov. But where they... I said it backwards. But Abu Behediroi zeh is the other way around. Benidra means when I made the neder on myself, and Hedira means someone else made the neder on me. So do we say Abu Behediroi zeh mi zeh, moidu Rabbanan le Rabbeloz ben Yaakov? Maybe when the other guy made a neder on me, even the Rabbanan who in the Mishnah said you're Osir, maybe they would agree that in this case that's going to be Mutter, because how do you have Shutvim? Who gives it's a shutuf. That means I always had a right to use this property. So the other guy is going to decide that I can't use the property? How could that be? It's bad enough when he has his property on his own and he says he has his own bicycle and he's not going to let me use his bicycle. Okay, Nunu, that's his right. He doesn't want to give it to me. But this is partially my property. It's partially my bicycle. And now he because of his neder, I'm not going to be able to use my own bicycle. Even the Rabbanut should be moider. Why dechi anusim damu? Because that would be like an oinus. You're forcing me without my permission to not let me use my own property, because you're creating a situation which now makes it also for me to use my own property. So maybe over there the Gemara is asking, maybe the Rabbana would agree to Rav Elozar ben Yaakov that in the event of that kind of neder it would continue to be mutter, and I can argue and say I'm using my property, you have no right to prohibit me from my property. Or maybe the Gemara is saying, suggesting, no, maybe even in that case it would be interesting, and it would be really, really a lot. But maybe even in that case, where the other guy made the neder, at the end of the day, he made the neder, and now it's going to be also for you to use the property. So that is the Gemara's question. To which the Gemara says, Toshima, I'll bring you a ride. So the Gemara now brings a ride and says, Toshima, hoya echad mehen mudar hano mechaveri. The Gemara is actually bringing a ride from the next line of the Mishnah, from the top of Mem Vav Amud Aleph, where if only one of them made the hano, and over there also, upligi rabbonon, And the Rabbanan argue. Now, there, the words of the Mishnah are Mudar Hano, that he made the neder. That is, those are the words of the Mishnah. So if he made Mudar Hano, that he is the object of the neder. Mudar, he's the object of the neder. So then it seems like the machlekes would apply even if the other guy made the neder, even if the other guy prohibited me from using his own property, it's still going to be aser. So we see they argue in all cases, to which the Gemara immediately responds, no. Tani nodur mechaberoi hano. The way back to the case that we said before, that he was nodur, that he made the neder, and therefore now that he made the neder, it's going to be aser. So it's only aser if he made the neder personally. Okay, and that's why it's going to be aser. If I made the neder on myself, I understand why I'm aser. But what that would mean is, the significance of that is, if you tried to make the neder on me and prohibit me from using my own property, you have no right to say that. You have no right to make a neder. Even though technically there is a portion of this property that belongs to you, but you can't make a neder which would ultimately result in the fact that my property is aser to myself. That you can't do. That's what the Gemara is saying. That was never in the cards, to be able to make a neder on someone else to prohibit that other guy from using his own property. That would never be permitted. That's what the Gemara is concluding over here. But we didn't conclude yet. So Hachanami Mistaber, that makes more sense. Diktani Seifa, because the end of the Mishnah says, V'koifin, in that line of the Mishnah says, V'koifin es hanodur limkar es chelka. He has to sell. Because that case of the Mishnah is actually talking about only one of them made the nether, not both of them. They have to, only one of them made the nether. So, Iyam Rav Shloima, the nether, another who, Hayne Diktanu Kaifin. So if you understand that he himself made the nether, now I'm learning the way the Ran learns in the Gemara, that he himself made the nether, I understand. He put himself into that situation. This is a situation which is not bearable, which is not, it's not able, maintainable, sustainable. So therefore, I force him to sell. Eli Iyam da Adre, but if you're telling me the case was that the other guy made the nether, am I Kaifan Aisoi? How could you force him to sell? Hamenas Onis. He's forcing the guy to not be able to use. He's an oinus, the fact that he's not able to use his own property. So that is the pashtus of the way the Ran learns the Gemara. And therefore the Gemara seems to indicate that we're talking about that the guy made the nether himself. And that's why we say, listen, you put yourself in this situation. You made yourself in a non-sustainable, unbearable situation. So the only way you're going to be able to get out of this is you're going to have to sell your property. Okay? So that is fine. But it won't apply if the other guy made the nether. But first of all, I forgot to point out that the Ran says on the Mishnah, why would we force him to sell? So the Ran says because he's not going to be able to stay away from the property. This is the chiddush of the Ran. Other Rishonim don't necessarily. We don't want him going over the nether. The other Rishonim actually learn a little bit differently than the Ran of why we force him to sell, what we're concerned about. But the Ran says this is where the Ran goes beyond, so to speak, where the other Rishonim go. The other Rishonim say, oh, they're going to see the other guy using the property. I'm going to use the property also, so I'm going to make a mistake, so we have no choice. We have to get him off the property, so he has to sell it. That's the way the Ran learns. That's the way most Rishonim learn. The Ran learns, it's interesting, because if you remember the case on the top of the Amid was that they all agree that if we make this nether, I'm not allowed to put an oven, a rechayim, I'm not allowed to put something. And the Ran says, that's what we're worried about. We're worried about that the guy who's mutter is going to put an oven there. And you're going to say, well, if you can put an oven on the property, I can put an oven on the property, which is much, much kind of beyond just walking onto the property. Most Rishonim learn that I'm going to make a mistake about walking onto the property. That, you know, I can understand that. You know, it's your property, you're going to walk there. But the Ran is saying that the mistake, you're going to get jealous of the fact that he's getting real use out of the property and you're not getting any real use out of the property. So therefore, that's why you have to sell. That's one point that I wanted to point out. The other thing that I wanted to say, no, so that's why we're going to force him to sell, because we know that he's going to end ultimately make a mistake and use the property inappropriately. He's going to use the property by putting something on the property that he's not allowed to put on the property. He's gonna put an oven onto the property when he's not allowed to. Meaning, it's one thing if I walk across the property. It's another thing, let's say for argument's sake now, we're talking about we have a shared backyard. Okay? So it's fine. It's one thing to say you're gonna go out there one day and you're gonna walk around and you're gonna stand outside in the backyard. No problem, that's not a problem. The problem that the Ron is saying is that you're gonna want a barbecue back there. You're gonna see the other guys barbecuing and you're gonna say, oh, I also want a barbecue back there. And that's where you're gonna end up making the mistake. The other thing also, interestingly, is that we've been discussing till now, when we talk about the forcing to sell, we've been assuming that the one who is usser, the mudar, the person who the neder is on, is the one that would be forced to sell. Without getting into it, the Rambam has a very interesting pshat, and he says that actually what the person we're going to force to sell is the one who made the neder. That's the Rambam pshat. And the other Rishonim have a hard time with the Ravid already asks, and the other Rishonim already have a hard time with the Rambam's pshat. But the Rambam is learning, and the Rambam l'shitasoy actually is very interesting, that the Rambam's l'shitasoy, anytime I make a neder, right, if you remember a while ago we discussed this, but if somebody makes a neder and on somebody else and the other person violates it, who brings the carbon? So this also, if you remember, this was a machlekes rishonim back, I think on Daf Lama Dalid, or earlier on Tesvav or something like that, where according to the Rambam, or Yergimel, I think is where it was, but according to the Rambam, the one who made the neder is going to be the one who's chayef to bring a carbon. It's because I shouldn't have made that neder to make him violate it. So the same thing, the Rambam is consistent over here also, and he's saying, if I don't like the fact that there's a neder over here, the one who made the neder is the one who's going to have to sell. Whereas the other Rishonim say that if I make a neder on somebody else and he violates it, he's going to bring the carbon. So the same thing over here also, that he's going to be the one who's going to have to, be the one who sells. Anyway, that's interesting, Rishonim, Achlekes Rishonim, to point out. The other thing is, according to the Ran, very interestingly, he holds that the Gemara does not have a maskana. Says the Gemara tried to bring a raya and says it makes more sense to say that he made the neder on himself. But lemaisa, in conclusion, there is no absolute raya. That just makes more sense that's the case that we're discussing over here. But according to the Ran, the Gemara doesn't come up with a final teretz. Okay. Moving along now, the last couple of words on Mem Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, "Omar Rabba, Omar Ze'iri." Okay, turning the page now to Mem Vav Amud Aleph, says, "Machlekes sheyesh bo kedei chaluka." That we're talking about a case over here that the field that we've been discussing until now is a field that is large enough to split, and that's why we have a machlekes whether or not I'm asering my side on top of your side and so on. Avol ein bo kedei chaluka, but if the field is not large enough, divrei hakol mutter. Everybody agrees that it's going to be mutter, even though there's a neder, it's going to be mutter for me to use it. So the Ran has a very interesting explanation over here why. Because the Ran, remember, when we learned the Mishnah, we discussed the fact that he holds the homachleikus over here is a question of yesh breira or not ein breira. So he says, when you're dealing with a field, this is again this line in the Gemara is going to change in a minute, but in this line of the Gemara, when you're dealing with a field which is too small to split, and you hold yesh breira, that means that, or even if you hold ein breira, this is what the Ran's chiddush is. Even if you hold ein breira, that means when I bought the field, since we know we can't split it, that means we already know that you're going to be able to use 100% of the property when you use it. Not that, because it can't be split, it's too small. When you're in the backyard making a barbecue, you're using it. It doesn't make, we're not both using the barbecue at the same time. It's just not shaykh. So therefore, we understood initially when we bought it that there are going to be times when you're using it, it's 100% yours. And when I'm using it, it's 100% mine. Like the muscle we gave last time with the car. When you're driving the car, you're driving the car. That's it. We understood initially when we bought the car together, when you're using the car, you're using it. and that's it. And therefore, even if you hold Ein Breira, that is the relationship, that is the ownership of the item. That's the ownership of the field over here. So therefore, it has to be Divrei HaKol, it's going to be Mutter, because I cannot asur something that was already yours from the original time we bought it, that is the way it's going to be. So therefore, everybody holds it's going to be Mutter. That's the way the Ran learns this line in the Gemara. Because now, even though that's a very logical svara, the Gemara now changes that. Because we have a Beferish Halacha not like that. Amar Rabbi Yosef. Because Rabbi Yosef says we have a Gemara, we have a case later. Hare Beis HaKnesses, the Kamisha Ein Boy Kedei Chaluka Dami. A Beis Knesses is considered like a property that cannot be split. It's a shul for the entire community. It's not like you can split the shul. The shul, it's one shul, it's one community. It can't be split. V'tanan, and we have a Beferish Mishnah that says, Shneim Asurim B'dover Shel Oisei Ha'ir. If both of them are awesome, meaning each guy made a nether on the other guy, are those things that belong to the city, which a shul is, Beis Knesses is one of those things that belongs to everybody, then the result is going to be that they're going to be asur, right? The Tanan, let me read those words correctly again. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Shneim Asurim, both of them are going to be asur, B'davar Shel Oisei Ha'ir, and those things that are community property. So community property is something that can't be split because it belongs to everybody together, and the halacha is, if we make a neder, that it's going to be asur. So how could you tell me, that everybody holds when we're dealing with a property that is too small to split, that it's going to be totally mutter, when we have a beferish of Mishnah that says when you're dealing with a property that can't be split, it's totally asur. Now, the fact that that it says asur, it doesn't bother me as much, because at least there's shitas rabbanon that hold that when you're dealing with community property, it's going to be asur. So there is a shita that holds this. But certainly, if you're going to tell me that even the rabbanon hold its mutter, like you wanted to say originally, like Rabbah wanted to say originally, that even the Rabbana hold its mutter, then this Mishnah doesn't fit like anybody. So that cannot be that they're arguing only when it's big enough to split and agree when it's too small that it's mutter. Because we have this case that says clearly that it's asur. So the Gemara switches it around. Ela Amar Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef argues Amar Zirin, the name of Zirin, Machloikes She'ein Bo Kedei Chaluka. On the contrary, they're arguing specifically when the field is not large enough to split. That's where we're discussing whether or not I can create an Isser on you. But if the field is large enough to just go ahead and split straight, Asur, everybody's going to agree it's Asur. Meaning even Rav Elazar ben Yaakov will agree that it's Asur. Because there's no reason to continue to keep it like this. There's no reason to continue keeping the field together when it's going to be, when there's a nether on it that I'm not allowed to use your portion. Again, so the chiddush is, and the way the Ran learns is that you're going to force them to split. Because there's an option out of it, and because we could split it, we're not going to allow you to use it and make the argument that I'm using it in a way that's mutter. We're going to force them, so we're not going to let them use it until they split. Okay? The reason why it's going to be usher even until we split is going to be because really we hold Ein Breira, and over here it was only mutter because of a yesh breira, because of the fact that this was a super yesh breira. This was a breira that we already knew ahead of time that's the way it was, there were going to be times when it was going to be mutter for me to use it. That when I was using it as mine. But now that we're requiring to split, that means that really we're saying, now we're going to decide what's yours and what's mine. So until we actually do the split, it's a little bit of mine and it's a little bit of yours. So included in a little bit of yours is some of mine, which is definitely usur. So that's why you have to split it, because once we decide that we're going to split it, and then we're going to figure out which part of the property is mine and which part of the property is yours, until we actually split it, there's a little bit of yours in mine. And that little bit of yours is usur. So that's why it's going to continue. It's usur until we literally split it. So once we split it, then it's yours is yours and mine is mine. But until we split it, there's a little bit of yours intermingled into mine, and that's what's going to be continue, is going to be usur until we split it. I just point out that there is a machlokes rishonim over here whether it continues to be asur after you split it. The Rambam holds that it's mutter once you split it, and the Rashba, without getting into it, the Rashba holds that it's going to be asur even after you split it. Okay. In any event, the Gemara continues and says like this. Amar Rav Huna, halacha ka Rav Elozer ben Yaakov, we pass like Rav Elozer ben Yaakov that it is going to be mutter, meaning in that situation where we argue, where there isn't enough to split, it's too small, it's a small little area, Rav Elozer ben Yaakov said it was mutter, that's going to be the halacha. V'chein amar Rav Elozer, halacha ka Rav Elozer ben Yaakov, he also paskins the halacha is like Rav Elozer ben Yaakov, that it is going to be mutter. Okay, so if it's, again, but that means, according to the way the Gemara answered before, that means we're talking about a field that's too small to split. So we can't split it, so then it's going to be mutter for me to use it lahalocha like Rav Elozer ben Yaakov. But if it's large enough to split it, then you have to split it. Then there's no question, that's the maskana of the Gemara over here. Then you have to split it. I mean, now that you made this neder, you have no choice, especially if they made the neder one on each other. But even on one way, you have to split. If it has to be split, it has to be split, and that's the way it's going to move on further. Okay, that takes us to the end of that piece. Last piece of the Gemara now, I'm involved in raise, is like this. So we have this case where we have a bath, where this guy made an eder, he owns property, and he made, the case is like this. A guy who owns property, and the property is rented out to somebody else for the use, and its use is a public service where everybody is coming in and using the property. So then the halacha was, it depends on whether the landowner, the one who owns the, I don't know what you want to call it, the building or the land, the one who owns the property, is if he has a tfisas yad, if he has a connection, so then he made the neder on this other guy, it's going to be also. If he doesn't have a connection, it's going to be mutter. That's the words of the tfisas yad. Those are the words of the Gemara. So the Gemara itself asks, okay, the kama tfisas yad. So how much of a connection does he have to have in order for it to be usur. So Amar Rav Nachman, so I'm going to read the girsa that we have in our Gemara. The girsa we have in our Gemara is like this. Amar Rav Nachman, lemechsa l'shlish l'rvia, where he has, the owner of the land has what we call in the fancy language is a percentage rent situation, where he's getting either a half, a third, or a quarter of the profits that are coming in. Meaning, when I'm renting it to somebody else, the way my rent schedule works is, I don't have a set amount, I have whatever income you bring in, I take a percentage. Either, again, the normal percentages were either a half, a third, or a quarter. Those were the normal percentages that you would have. And therefore, since I have a direct percentage, the landowner has a direct percentage of every client that comes in and pays, that's how I collect my rent. So that means when this guy comes in and uses the property, he's really paying the landowner. And that's why it's going to continue to be usher, because it's as if you're literally having a relationship with the landowner, even though he's a third party. So, what? Here's to the Gemara that we have in the Gemara is Avul Bebotzer Loy. But if you're getting paid less than this percentage, that's the literal translation of Babatsu, means less than. So the Gemara's examples were half, a third, and a quarter. I don't know why you needed all three, but the point is that if the landlord is taking less than a quarter, so the pashtus is he doesn't have enough of an interest in the property to be considered directly involved in the property, that therefore this guy he made the neder hano is going to be usher. That is the girsa that we have in our Gemara, and the Rashi brings this girsa, but he also brings the other girsa, which is what the Ran brings. The Ran learns either beitzim or beitzim. It depends on, again, how you read the word and how you pronounce the word, what exactly it was. But the point is that it was very common when you had, for example, a Beis HaMerchatz, where you had a place where it was, people were constantly, or Beis HaBad, where people were constantly coming, it was very common to have a side business next to the Beis HaMerchatz, where either was connected to the Beis HaMerchatz or wasn't connected to the Beis HaMerchatz, where you would sell your own property. If you want to learn that it's Beitzim, it's talking about eggs. So since everybody's coming to the Beis HaMerchatz, it's a perfect place for your market where you're able to sell your objects. Most likely, it doesn't really mean Beitzim eggs. It probably means Beitzim. It's probably meant to be read as Beitzim. Beitzim are pieces of earthenware. So people used to come there and sell their earthenware goods. So it was very common that even if I'm going to rent you the space to open up your Beis HaMerchatz, I'm going to have my own side little business over here, so I'm making extra money because people are here. Once I have the foot traffic because of the Beis HaMerchatz, you're going to benefit also. It's like, you know, think about in the olden days in the Lower East Side where they used to have all these stores, and then they used to have the push carts on the street, on the sidewalk, that were selling similar or different items. And the reason they did it is because there were so many people coming to the stores that as they walked down the sidewalk, there were these other things to buy. So that's what they used to do. That was apparently very common in the times of the Gemara. So what the Gemara is saying is that any profit I make from that side hustle on the sidewalk, that would not be considered enough of an interest in the Merchatz to make it mutter, to be considered part of the owner and therefore usher for the guy to come and use the Beis HaMerchatz. That's Rav Nachman Shita. However, Abaye Omar, Abaye argues and says, no, afilu bebotzer oser, or bebitzim, right, depending on what your girsa is. Abaye says, even if it's less. So again, if you have the girsa that we have, which is botzer, which is less, which means even if he has a very small percentage of benefit of income from each patron as they use the facility, so that's already still connected. You're paying me, even if I only get 5% or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. The point is that I'm ultimately directly getting the benefit, and I made the neder, so you're not allowed to use the property. Or you have the girsa bebitzim, which means that you're using the earthenware. That also, because that is connected directly to the Beis HaMerchatz. For example, let's say the Beis HaMerchatz is like a mikvah or something, so you buy the kalim, and then you have to bring the kalim into the mikvah to be toivel them, to be able to use them. So it's the business is connected. That is considered as again, the lashon of the Mishnah was tfisas yad, that I have enough of a connection in the field itself that therefore it continues to remain usr. Okay, so if it continues to remain usr, even though it's so to speak a side hustle, it's not directly of the merchatz itself. So hechi dami d'shari. So when would it ever be mutter if it's already rented out? So the Gemara answers the Makabo Bataska, where you get, now I'm going to translate this very loosely, and I'm going to say where you're getting a set rent. So meaning, the guy who rents the property gives you a set rent, and he pays you $1,000 a month, regardless of whether he's successful or unsuccessful. So now the landlord really has nothing to do with the clients. He doesn't care whether the clients come or they don't come, as there's no direct connection. So that's the case of the Gemara, that's the case of the Mishnah, the Ein Bo Tfisas Yad. I have nothing to do with it anymore because I'm not getting a percentage, I'm getting a set amount, and now this other person really is using the renter's property. He's not using my property. So that is, if you translate Bataska as rent. Although, interestingly, Bataska, in other places in Shas, and the Rishonim, actually the Ran points this out, is really the word taska means a tax. So what they used to do was, even when they rented out the property, they would charge a tax, a fee. There's rent, and then there's a fee. There's a tax. Like the king used to put on a taska. The king used to put on a tax. So the tax, so this would be true, by the way, even if I sold the property, I could put a tax on the property that he continues to have to pay me for a number of years, whatever that number of years is. Every year he has to give me, but the point is that it's a set amount. Interesting nuance in the lashon of the Gemara. The Makabel Taska means he gets a set amount, using the word a tax.
It's still mutter, though.
Right. The point is that it's mutter because it's a set amount. So even though the landlord is still connected to the property, that connection is really through the renter, not through the clients that come in. So it doesn't matter anymore how successful he is. If the guy I made the neder on comes to use the property, it's not going to impact and change whether or not the landlord is making money. The landlord is getting a set amount, and that's why it's mutter. One last point, and then we'll stop. The Ran brings a very interesting shita that we're talking about over here, that he made the neder, that the landlord made the neder after the property was already rented. But if he made the neder and he said, all my property is usur, and includes this property. Let's say he used to run the Beis HaMerchatz himself personally, and then he rented it to somebody else. That Beis HaMerchatz will still continue to be usur even after someone else takes over, because it's already usur. And the rent is not going to remove that iser hanum. So I thought that was interesting. To why? Because it's already usur. It's already also the rent.
Change
hands, but it didn't change enough hands because I'm still the landlord. Ultimately, I'm still the landlord. Okay, and then the Ran spends a lot of time talking about why isn't it connected? The mere fact that it's connected to the person, to the original owner, why isn't that also? Okay, and he brings a machlekes rishonim on that. But we'll stop over here.
Can I?